And good evening, friends. Good evening on this wonderful July 9th, 2014. This is Mark from Trinity. Across from me is the ever-awesome
Charlie.
And the ever-beautiful
Jackie.
And where are we broadcasting from?
Trinity Metaphysical Center in Hamburg, New Jersey.
Excellente. So for all our wonderful friends, tonight's show is going to be a doozy for you. What we're going to be talking about is local creepy stuff that's going on all around us. I know it sounds kind of funny, but you know, we've talked about things on this end of the world and that end of the world. Now we're going to bring it more close to home. And it's funny that you don't really know what's going on until what's going on around you until you take a look at it. There are some crazy things going on. Like, I live in West Milford, and West Milford is known for one big, huge thing, Clinton Road. It is, I mean, everyone's on there. Everyone's sitting there running up to Clinton Road, taking pictures of the sign, you know, with the crazy-looking mean faces and this and that, and making their pilgrimages and this and that. But when I tell you Clinton Road, to me, is something I can see from my house. I'm on it once or twice a week, drive on a day, which is absolutely beautiful, drive on a night, which is absolutely freaky. Gone to fire calls out there, flipped over cars. I mean, it's just cool as anything, and just the stories behind it. But there's more to stuff in the town. Like, I grew up in a town called Wayne, New Jersey. Wayne is a big revolutionary town. And, you know, I found out one of the places we used to party at as kids was an actual Nike missile base. There was a ring of these missile bases that were all around New York, and we actually used to party at the old radar site for it, not even knowing. Well, they demolished it in the late 90s, and they put some beautiful luxury houses up there. But it's just one of these cool things that, you know, you don't realize until you look at it. I also used to live in Patterson on Totowa Ave. So anybody who is worth their salt for anything weird, wild, the paranormal in Jersey knows on Totowa Ave becomes Riverview Drive. And on Riverview Drive is Annie's Road. And right where that happened on Annie's Road is also a Midgetville, of all things. Yes, it's on, oh, what was that? I have it written down somewhere. It's a, exactly, you don't even see the houses. They're so small. It's right under, if you're driving on Riverview Drive and you're going underneath the Route 46 overpass, there's this, I mean, the street's not even 500 feet long, and it kind of goes in a U-shape there, and it's a little Midgetville. So it's all these weird and crazy things, and also someone's calling in at that moment, but there's all these weird and crazy things that are going on in your town, and some people don't even know about it. They live their whole lives there. Another cool thing, which we'll talk about a little later on, is Destination West Milford on the hiking trail, and it is a, well, we can explain it, it's a living room made out of rock. You have these 400-pound boulders that some people actually went, and this whole rock formation made couches with a little fireplace in the center. And Charlie's looking at me right now. It's right on top of the mountains of West Milford. We'll actually look it up online. We'll see if I can get you the geocast position. But yeah, it's pretty close. And again, the look on Charlie's face right now is probably the look at some of you are going, said, I had no idea about any of that stuff. That is outstanding.
I've heard of the UFOs up around, you know, Greenwood Lake and this and that, but
well,
I never heard of anybody making.
That's the other thing. I used
out of the rocks.
I also used to live behind the Wanacue Reservoir.
There you go.
And was it 1966? They had that huge mass sighting over there.
Yep.
You even had. I said I got all the notes, and that we'll tell the story later. But not to blow it really quick. You even had the old Men in Black coming down. And doing a little, you saw nothing. It was swamp gas. It was Jupiter and Venus. And I had an alignment. Like, wow, it's great stuff. Uh-oh. Look at that. Jackie's got the phone going on over here. That is tonight's show. We hope maybe you learned something new, reinforce some old stuff. And if you're feeling compelled to call in, by God Almighty, call on in and share something. Like I said, we're just doing some local stuff around me. You might be living out there in Oshkosh B'gosh, and you got something cool going down there in Oshkosh B'gosh. I'd love to hear it. Well, anyhow, let me turn it over to Charlie, because right now Jackie just stormed out the door on a telephone call, one of our million callers already. And what we'll do is we'll listen to a story from Charlie. We'll just get a little background on Charlie, places he lived, and things he knows maybe he doesn't know yet. Let's hear something.
Okay. Well, I'd like to let everybody know first, I always say I've led a very charmed life. I had a great childhood, a great midlife. Now I'm in elder statesman here. Basically, everything's been pretty good. It's been pretty easy. Things have happened well. But when I lived in Bergenfield, some of you might realize that if you are in Bergen County, that's very close to Alpine. And what Mark was saying before about old missile sites around Bergen County or around New York City, you should say, we used to go up into Alpine because there was a Boy Scout camp up there right off of 9W. But not too far from the Boy Scout camp was a actually a missile silo area.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go up there. We didn't know we were, well, you know, it's all fenced in and do not enter signs and the whole bit. We'll be prosecuted, you know, by the law. And, you know, 40 years ago, people were sitting there saying, oh, you better not go in there. And, you know, kids went in there. And you would see these things and you were like, what the hell is going on? And you wouldn't believe it until you saw it. But it wasn't really a haunted area, but it was quite a sight to see. But there was a haunted area that was right up in Alpine. I forgot what it was called, something's Tower, Devil's Tower or something.
Okay.
And it was right off of 9W, and it's right in the middle of a very, very beautiful, you know, neighborhood. All the houses in Alpine are basically beautiful. They're all huge, and I'm sure very rich people live there. But there's the Devil's Tower, where if you go around it three times backwards or something like that, you're supposed to see somebody up there in the tower that threw themselves off the tower because of some love triangle or something. I don't know. I can definitely tell you, I've been around that three times backwards, forwards. I've been around it sober. I've been around it otherwise. And I never saw anybody, although we were looking for it, okay? But there's something that comes to mind that I'm sure everybody's probably experienced to some extent. I was in North Carolina back in time frame 1970 to 72, somewhere around there. And I was going to college. And let's just say I wasn't the best student, okay? It took me a little bit longer to get through college than most kids. But the first couple of years of college, we were there. I actually went to summer school down there, which was a real lot of fun with the heat and everything. But there was a place called the Devil's Hill. And you could actually drive out to this place. You could see the field out to your right. You could see the road in front of you dipping down and then back up on the other side of the hill. And you could put your car in neutral, and you're facing downhill, and the car would start to back up when you let your foot off the brake. You'd be rolling uphill. And people used to sit there and say, well, that's impossible. And I know it's probably some sort of optical illusion. They would sit there and say, you know, when you're there and it's after a certain time at night and it's dark and it's this and it's that the devil pushes you up the hill, or somebody who died there, you know, doesn't want you to get hurt and they push you up the hill. Well, I had a little MGB and I loved that car. And went out there, obviously, we're trying to impress some girls. I mean, my buddy had a small MGB, I had an MGB. I had the better-looking girlfriend. But anyway, we got down there, we got to the spot, and we both put our cars in neutral, and we were side-by-side facing in the same direction. And guess what? He's in the left lane, I'm in the right lane. We both let our feet off the brake, and the cars start rolling up the hill. And just perchance, from the other side of the hill where we thought the road was coming down in front of us was a state trooper coming towards us because he knew why we were there. I was lucky enough to see him. My friend wasn't. I turned around real quick, took off. He didn't. He got caught. End of story. It was a lot of fun that night. But the idea here is that there's a story for almost every town, every county, yeah, every state that's out there. You talk about Clinton Road.
Oh, yeah.
I had always heard stories about Clinton Road. I always heard stories that don't go on it, yeah, because the police will chase, yeah, you because they know you could get hurt or killed,
yes,
up there.
Yes. Story now.
Yes.
Right? And I was my teenage when...
What's the one where your son was at down there in... Where is
that
it?
Was the...
Where they got the shigs.
Yeah.
What's the name of that place?
That was...
Near
by
Hope?
By the Jenny Jump.
By the Jenny Jump, right. And we still haven't gone down there yet. Mm-hmm. Down by Jenny Jumpin'. Tell the story of what happened to your son.
When he went down that road, it was supposed to be a haunted, scary road with all the...
It was.
You know, and he stopped the car, and he had a couple of his friends in the car with him. So, you know, him being all tough, he stopped the car and turned off the engine and was like, okay, let's see what's going to get us. And then he said all of a sudden they heard,
scratching?
Yeah, like the scratching on the sides of the door. And they couldn't see anything. And then he's like, wait a minute. And then, you know, there was a girl in the back, and she started screaming. She's like, we need to go. She's kind of sensitive, too, so...
Yeah.
She was somebody, and she's like, we have to get out of here. And he's like, we're fine. It's probably somebody playing a joke. And then all of a sudden it happened, like they heard this big noise, like, going across the hood. And then he got nervous. And then he said they were flipping out, and then they, like, flew out of there. And when he got to the one person's house to drop them off and they got out of the car, there were all scratches. And there were scratches on the sides of his car, long scratches exactly like they heard. And then the front, there were these big, and he took a picture of it, big, like, they look like feet, but with, like, animal feet prints on his hood, huge.
And they didn't see anything.
Going the wrong way, like they were going...
Towards him.
Yeah.
On the hood. But yep. they didn't see anything
nope,
on the hood when it happened.
They didn't see anything. They just heard noise and were scared to death. And he's somebody who, you know, he definitely believes in the paranormal and things, but he's also very skeptical. And
yeah.
I'll never forget that. I'll never forget. He's calling me on the way home. He's like, get the salt. when you experience something for yourself or you have a personal experience, we know it's a lot different than hearing it. You're already, like, creeped out and the hair stands up on your arms when you hear it. But then when you're actually in it...
Well,
sometimes it scares the poop out of you.
You know, what you're saying is 100% true about if it happens to you. Because I told you about two instances. First one, when I first moved into my house. I didn't know that Stokes State Forest is supposed to house Bigfoot. Okay?
Ooh.
I had
big
no
feet.
Yeah, he's got big feet. But I had no idea that it was supposed to be up in this area. And if you drive 10, 15 minutes past my house, you're in Stokes State Forest. And one night, I had just moved in, and I was still a little, I had the willies about it, you know, because it was really dark. There's no street lights on my street. It's a very dark route in a rural area. Well, I went out in the backyard with the dog, and I got him on his leash, and I'm waiting for him to do his business. And I hear something stomping on the ground. I can't tell you how close it is. I can't tell you if it's right next to me or if it's far away. All I know is something is stomping on the ground. First thing that ran through my mind was, it's got to be a deer, you know, how they stomp when they see you because they don't want you to go any further. And I sat there, and I had a flashlight with me. And I sat there and said, all right, if this is a deer, let me shine it out. Let me see what he looks like. Well, my yard is on an angle, okay? From the back of the house, it goes down the further down the yard you go. And my neighbor's house is up to the left a little bit and just a little incline. And my other neighbor on my right side, it dips down. But basically, it's not so much of an incline where somebody would be a lot taller than you or some animal would be taller than you. So I shine the light in the direction where I keep hearing this stomping. And... you know how when your flashlight isn't strong enough to reflect off of a body, but an animal's eyes can look back at you because of the reflection off of the back of the eyeball?
Oh, the creepy cats at night.
Well, that too. But I looked with this flashlight, and I saw these red eyes looking back at me, only they were way higher than me or a deer would have been, way higher. And it scared me. And I grabbed the dog, I said, come on, let's go, you know. And I kept hearing the stomping, even though I was moving away from it. Now, deer, once they see you moving away, they stop. Well, this thing kept stomping. So that scared me. Then I came down here, and I found out that basically there's supposed to be a Bigfoot in the area of Stokes Forest. I said, okay, great, no big deal. I had been coming here now about, 2 years, 2.5 years. And this past winter... friend of mine gave me a cigar for Christmas, really nice cigar. So I never smoke in the house. I don't even smoke. I just puff on it. I like the smell and I like the flavor. So I don't inhale. One cigar every year, so that's a big deal. But what happened was actually didn't take a dog, any one of the dogs with me. I walked out in the front of my house. And if you walk out to the street, if you look to the right, the street goes up a slight hill and then down. And to the left, it goes all the way down to the main road. Well, I decided to take a right out of my driveway, walk in front of my house, and up the hill. And as I'm walking up the hill, I didn't have a flashlight with me, which is, I was sorry I didn't. But I heard this, it sounded like an animal screaming, like a scream. And I couldn't tell if it was near or far. It was just a scream. And it stopped me dead in my tracks. And I sat there and I thought, what the hell was that? And I said, and it stopped. And I started to walk up the hill again. I took two steps, and the screaming started again. Now I got the woolies, because now I know about Bigfoot.
So now you know the legend of Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
So I've decided, well, it might be in my best interest to go back where I came from, go back to the driveway, and possibly go back in the house. So I got back to my driveway, and I still had, like, a pretty – it was a big cigar, okay? Yeah, it was a Churchill, so it was going to last a long time.
Yeah.
So I decided, well, you know what? Maybe I just didn't hear it right. Maybe let me walk back up the hill one more time. And if it's not there, I'll just walk down to the bottom to the cul-de-sac and come back. Well, I start walking up the road again, and I got maybe another 25, 30 feet past where I got before, and I heard this god-awful scream. And I don't know what it was. It could have been a Bigfoot. I don't know. I really don't know what it was. But I decided that I didn't need the rest of that cigar. I threw the cigar. I ran back into the house. And you know what? Every time I drive now from my house in Sussex County to where my mother-in-law is over in Milford, Pennsylvania, and I go all the way through Stokes Forest, I'm constantly looking for anything that I might see crossing the road or in the woods or anything else like that. Because you know what? All you need to do is see it one time. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that have seen satellites. They've seen shooting stars. They think they've seen a ghost or a spirit or something. And you know what? They might well have. I'm not going to say they haven't. Just because I haven't, that doesn't mean that they haven't. But if you see it, You know that old saying, seeing is believing?
Oh, yeah.
Well, sometimes seeing really isn't believing. Sometimes your mind plays tricks on you, but I got news for you. If I saw something huge walking across the highway, okay, and I saw it, and it was actually 650 is the county road that I go down all the way to Milford, that could be very, very interesting. So, I mean, as far as a couple of my stories goes, I probably got a few more, but I just wanted to let you know what's going on with that. And now, we got Ron here.
Oh, sweet.
Ron,
look at that.
What's up, buddy? What's you made it. Excellent. Have a seat.
All right,
old man.
We're going to get Ron set up here with the old
Ron, we got to go down to Rochester one of these Saturdays. I told you, we're going to go down in the vet.
Nice.
Yeah.
There
we take Mark, but he's going to be out on a boat.
Somewhere. Yeah, I'll be out in the boat over there. I'll leave him next week.
Next week. So what we're doing is we got local
folklore, ghost stories, and stuff like that. Trying to keep it right to around your own backyard. I got it easy. I'm up in West Milford, so you know I got road and I got crashed airplanes. They got lots of cool stuff up there. What was it say? Oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah, so I got it easy. But what we're gonna try to do is see, Jackie. You got anything around your backyard you want to talk about?
In my backyard?
Well, she's been around all kinds of stuff.
Oh, there you go.
Not my backyard, but I know, like, the most, some of the most common things. Like, one of the biggest things that we always hear about in New Jersey is the Devil's Tree.
Oh, the Devil's Tree.
That's in Baskin Ridge. And that's, supposedly dark spirits are supposed to guard it and that type of thing.
And yet we haven't been there.
No, and that's probably something we should just do a weird New Jersey Saturday night.
Can we say that?
Why don't we do it during the day?
Yep. But that one's supposed to have, like, what they had said is, like, a woman had been accidentally killed there, right near there by her fiance in a hunting accident, and there's like supposed to just
hunting
be a lot
accident,
of.
There you go.
Yeah, they always say that there's you know, they can't cut the tree down.
Right.
You know, they don't exactly say why, except that they say that you just can't do it.
And sometimes they said they leave the handprints in there.
Yep.
You can never get your handprints out of there, like a charcoal around it. I have the application.
Yep. I actually know somebody who said they drove down the road to the Devil's Tree, right? And then they turned around, and every time they turned around, they ended up back at the Devil's Tree.
What?
It's weird. And they insisted, like, I don't know how that happened. But then they started to panic because
I did the same thing in Boston. I actually went past, what is it, the Bull and Finch, which is supposed to be the Cheers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was there.
And I swear to God, no matter what road you take in Boston, you end up back at the Bull and Finch. Because I went there like 3 times, and I said to a guy, I said, listen, I can't do this again. How do I get to this street? And he says, and he goes, you're probably going to end up right here again. Let me walk you down. And he says, just follow me, and I'll walk down. And I'll show you where you have to make your turn. But, I mean, it's the same thing. You end up at the same bar. That's why all those people always end up at Cheers.
Making that money.
Yep.
Yeah, Cliff Clavin.
We had some cool stuff. And I know in Lake Opakon they have the, what is it called, the Atco ghost or whatever.
Yes.
But it's supposed to be a friendly one where they say
Yeah.
It's supposed to be, it's supposed to have the head of a dog and the body of a snake or something.
Wow.
You heard about that one?
No.
Yeah, there's all these, neat things, from just, I mean, I know I heard of some of this stuff when I was a lot younger, but they're still, if you research it, they're still up there on the, you know, with people's stories and swimmers.
You know what we want to do?
I heard of the goat man.
That's popular.
Where's that one?
Not here. That's out in...
It's the house in Branchville.
South Carolina.
Oh.
What we ought to do is, on a Sunday, start real early in the morning and plot out going to each one of these places and bring people...
Sure, get on there. Get on that.
Get right on that. You know what? I'll get on that in 2 weeks.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you're not here.
Oh, come on. I think it would be great.
There's another one you should check out. It's in Totowa. It's not too far from here. It's called Annie's Road.
Oh, yeah. I get the whole list. I got all my notes. I used to live on that road. Of course, I was also like 6 or 7.
What is that? What's that one?
It's a spirit that just walks alongside the cemetery, and sometimes you pick her up as a hitchhiker.
Oh.
Annie.
Then.
And what happened, Annie? Did she die on the road?
There's lots of stories.
One was a wedding. She was at a wedding or something. She was getting married. Her fiance stood her up or something. She committed suicide. There's another one where somebody murdered her. There's another one that she got by a car. But it's all around the same area. It's not far. It's in Riverview Drive and Laurel Grove Cemetery.
Yeah.
Riverview Drive, is it near that hot dog place? Maybe?
Yeah, it's close to you can go to a hot girl from there.
Yeah, it's right on
the
top. Really? Yeah. No. The story was, I mean, we used to go down there in high school all the time, but it was, again, the main factors of the story is her father goes crazy and comes back every year, and there's always alcohol involved in the story. It's one of those kind of, you know, your type of story. But yeah, like Ron was saying, the first one I heard of growing up. It was a prom thing. She got into a fight with her boyfriend. Boyfriend kicked her out. And as she's walking home on the side of the road, she gets hit by a car of her drunken classmates. And the other constant in every Annie's Road story is that she's dragged down the road. And there's a reason why it's always a constant. She's dragged down the road, and there's blood on the road and on the divider. Not the divider, on the guardrail. When you go back on the eve of this, it's supposed to be on the, I forget the day it was, but on the eve of the anniversary of it, the road is supposed to glow with the blood. Mind you, the road's been repaved many, many times over, but the story is the road glows, and the guardrail is painted red by her father. So, in a way, he can somehow relive it and everything. It is pretty gruesome, but that, like I said, those are the constants. The constant is the father goes back and paints it every year. Now, if he's still alive, I have no idea. The other constant is alcohol involved. And the other constant is it's very gruesome with the blood. But as the stories go, there was one where she was picked up and she was accosted by a group of individuals, and they left her on there, and the way she's walking home, she's hit by a truck.
I'm sure it's gotten...
Yeah. Moved around.
But the other thing is that cemetery right there is supposed to be very haunted.
Yep, Laurel Grove, it's right... Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. And the other thing is that she's the rumor is she's supposed to be buried there.
And
you actually see stuff at her grave now. Who figured out whose Annie's graves is? I don't know. This happened back in the 60s. So you have to look back. But in Laurel Grove is a hop, skip, and a jump right there. I mean, it's not even half a mile away.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's the thing, though. When you have legends and folklore, everybody,
yeah.
It's like a hot spot for people
yeah.
to, you know, go and check it out, which is what Clinton Road is, which
yes.
is why all the cops are there trying to get you. If you pull over, they're usually there, like, in 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Now because they know...
Everything's
going
on.
You're
going
to do that.
Well, to get back with the Annie's Road thing, the way to bring Annie out, now here's the cool one, and this is why the cops are there. You drive down. Now, hold on. A little disclaimer. Do this.
Or okay. If you do, don't say you heard it.
Okay,
here.
I'm going to say it one more time.
Let's go with that.
Ready?
You did not hear it.
In Radio Land,
radio.
Repeat after me. I state your name.
I
will not do this. All right. So the stupid thing we used to do in high school
is... I will not say I heard this.
You drive down Riverview Drive, and you turn your lights off. You're supposed to do it at midnight. You turn your lights off, and you look in the rearview mirror. What you're supposed to see in the rearview mirror is Annie standing in the road. And it's absolutely creepy.
Absolutely.
Now, here's the thing. Well, you said Clinton Road is heavily patrolled. Riverview Drive...
Heavily patrolled.
...is heavily patrolled because there have been... accidents linked to the Annie's Road thing. Kids
yeah.
have actually gone out there, drove it at night, and hit somebody with the lights off. Same thing, you know, it's a very wide, if you've never been on it, it's a very, very narrow road. It's a very, very windy road. If you do not have your lights on, you will hit something. And it's a very dark road. There is not a lot of streetlights on there. So, again, do not do that. But there's been many, many accidents. There's been fatalities linked to Annie's Road,
yeah,
which brings another part of the legend.
Though. Clinton Road's bad.
Well, we'll get into that in a second. But the other thing with Annie's Road is the one thing we talked about, she shows up in the rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's supposed to happen on Annie's Road that's kind of freaky is she either appears in the car or she takes over the driver. And there you go. Which is why people say some of the things with kids slamming into trees over there and flipping cars over.
Well, they're also probably
drunk,
drinking, and I was just going to say.
Yes. It. Yes. And, that's pretty much it. But now, as we were just talking about Annie's Road before, told you about Midgetville over there. Now, you did not know about Midgetville right behind Annie's Road. All right, have you ever driven on it, Ron?
Yeah.
Okay. You know you drive
right.
under the overpass for
yes.
46?
Yes.
There's that little, hold on, I got the name written down over here. Actually, maybe I shouldn't say because people are going to start going over there. But it's actually Northwood Terrace. And it's a street, it's like 500 feet long, and it goes, just kind of makes a U and goes right back in Riverview. But it's all these tiny little houses.
It's little with midgets.
Yep, well, that was always the story, was little midgets. In reality, back when the Passaic River was actually swimmable, and you can go in there and you can relax, you can party, and you know it was like more of a vacation area, it was just a little section of bungalows, little tiny summer bungalows. Now, given the property taxes and you know how expensive things are up here in North Jersey, people have actually bought these little bungalows and moved into them full-time. Yes. The look that you're giving me is amazing.
Because you're saying they're small.
So oh.
Or small in height?
They are both. You know what? We're
so
gonna,
a regular-sized person is...
It's going to be tight. Yeah.
Or maybe they're 5'5" and under?
5'5" and under, yes. So I can't
That's
even
the
live
height
there.
Requirement?
But yeah, they're these little itty-bitty-bitty teeny-tiny houses. Crazy stuff.
Interesting.
Where is this?
The dollhouse size.
It's pretty much it. Okay.
I never heard that
The
one.
Houses are actually small.
They're small. They are like teeny tiny stuff. I mean, yeah, we're talking like very economic living here.
So they're not 8-foot ceilings, regulation ceilings.
They're all these old little bungalows
right. That
it was just, I guess, little summer bungalows that people rent. And all of a sudden, next thing you got houses that people are living in there full time around.
Little people.
Not even little. They're just regular sized people. We always called it Midgetville growing up. Because of the small little houses. And especially now, when you look at these McMansions everywhere you're driving down,
yeah.
and then you see these teensy tiny little postage stamps on half of a postage stamp property, you're going to say, oh, man, there's a bunch of midgets in there, little people, however you want to say it.
Wow.
But, yeah, that's
interesting.
See? You know what? You just definitely, when I'm gone, check it out. And you make, oh, wow, that's kind of cool.
We've checked out a bunch of, I personally don't care for Clinton Road just for it's a tough road to ride on.
Well.
But and I'm not sure which part, I know Dead Man's Curve is where the legend is with the little boy that you throw the coin over the bridge, he throws it back. But I'm not exactly sure which part is Dead Man's Curve.
See, here is, all right, if you want to find out in Clinton Road where Dead Man's Curve is, don't hit your brakes. Where you hit is Dead Man's Curve. It is an extremely...
Well, that's one way to find out.
It's extremely hairpin. It's really tight. You see the dividers. You see chunks out of the dividers.
And please do not take this advice.
Yeah. If you're driving, let me know. I'll have the fire trucks ready to go to pull you out. But, yeah, Clinton Road, like I said, that's the one I see from my house every day. So when I see people, oh, I'm making the trip, I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, I go that way to get my salt for my water softener. It's
yeah,
fun.
I mean, a lot of people ride that every day. It's just what it ended up being is it definitely is the road that, you know, all the young kids and even the the people who are doing paranormal, you know, investigating and things like that they want to say, like, I checked out Clinton Road. But tell you, you can't. We've done it at night. And It does have a creepy feeling. It has an uncomfortable energy, but you can't get out. Every 10 minutes there was a cop coming the other way or coming behind you.
Well, the other thing, too, it's so remote.
Especially
that,
Friday and Saturday.
Oh, God, yeah.
Is that the West Milford police?
That's Wilford police, yeah.
And they know
and so
people.
Friendly, too.
But they know people do that on the weekends. So
and
every Friday, Saturday,
have
they heavily...
loads of hikers. Clinton Reservoir is absolutely beautiful. You have lots of hiking trails up there. But besides the Ghost Boy and the bridge, now what you brought up was the bridge part.
Yeah.
That's where people also get confused because there's two bridges over there. There's
so
one of them.
I'm not sure which bridge.
Well, there's the one over there it's called the Druid Temple, which people assume is a Druid Temple. It's actually an old smelting tower from the 1800s. Yeah. Well, the castle is, Cross Castle is what's left of it. It's even further up. There's a Druid thing. It's right on the road. Well, people call it the Druid Temple. It's this big, huge, it's right where there's a little bit of waterfalls coming off the reservoir. Beautiful area. That's what people think is the road, but like I said, it's further up at Dead Man's Curve, where the smaller little bridge, and that's it. Now, again, with the story of the child, there's different variations on it. Some of it is you put the coin in the middle of the road, and the child will appear. Another is you throw the coin off
that's
the bridge.
That's the one I've always heard.
But it's got to be a penny. You throw the penny off the bridge, and the penny comes back at you.
Now, you're saying a penny. I heard it had to be a quarter.
See? That's why.
Like, when I was growing up, it was like you throw a quarter over. Yeah.
I heard it had to be 500 $1 bills wrapped in a plain wrapper.
Yes. And then usually you have somebody waiting down there. The other one is when you throw it over, or if you lean over the side of the bridge, at a certain time, you'll actually get a push. And it's supposed to be the spirit of the child trying to save you from traffic. So that's why there's so many great, cool stories
trying
on this.
Trying to push you off the bridge?
Pushes you off the bridge into the water to save you from a car. Because the child got...
Son of a...
Yeah. Because the child got hit by the car.
But at that... You know, when I was... You know, my teens get... Like, when we first were driving in high school, the other road, like Reservoir Road, was supposed to have had some... You know, supposed areas where there were, like they would say, if you get out of the car, these people are going to take you and drag you off, you know. And like, so I remember, you know, being young and learning to drive, being scared to death to drive on any of those roads, just because you hear the
stories.
Superstitions and the legends and things like that. And
there's more to Clinton Road than just the boy. There's more stuff that you probably, like I just told you about the midget, but you don't know. There is the story of the park rangers. And there's two park rangers that were killed on duty in the 30s that have actually been seen walking up and down that road.
I think that whole road is supposed to be. I've always heard the whole road is haunted, not just the thing with the little kid.
Oh, yeah.
I've always heard, like, and I've heard negative stuff, like negative energies, you know, or dark energies.
Well, have you heard the story of the infamous, quote-unquote, Iceman of Clinton Road?
That I have heard.
Yeah.
I have heard that one.
Yes. Oh, good call. Good call.
Are you kidding? The Iceman?
That was the Iceman.
My old neighbor from Dumont, New Jersey.
The story of the Iceman, and this goes into a lot of stuff, too, was back in 83. Yeah, some hikers, they found a body in various states of decomposition. When the police went to investigate, they looked at it, and upon the autopsy, they found ice crystals inside this body's organs. And at first, everyone's going, oh, my God, it's some weird mutant ice person that got killed. Like Ron said, Kuplinski, he was in 80, hold on, what was my notes, 86. They finally caught him. They linked him to the murders. Now, the cool thing about that is apparently the mafia has been using Clinton Road as a dumping ground since
I heard that
before that.
20 years ago.
You people will find old cars, 30s, 40s, 50s.
Not even
the
just in that area. There's supposed to be in a lot of areas up there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wonder how many concrete
where
shoes.
We were over by the Appalachian Trail and stuff, there was.
Way under.
Yeah, don't drink the water in Newark.
Upper Greenwood Lake. Those are stumps out there in the West End?
Yeah, those on stumps. All right, now you were talking about the cars.
Right.
There's two car stories on Clinton Road, too.
There's a pickup truck, too.
You have the pickup truck, and you have the Camaro.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the pickup truck is, I laugh because I drive a black pickup truck, and I drive on Clinton Road all the time. But the pickup truck is, you're driving on Clinton Road, and this truck is supposed to come barreling up behind you, bright lights and all, either tries to run you off the road, and just about when you're about to go out, go crazy and go off the road, disappears.
So what you're saying is you should slam on the brakes for him driving too close behind you.
Well, if you're driving fast on Clinton Road, you're nuts anyway. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you do a little brake check on that thing.
Yeah.
And the other one is a more of a recent one of a woman that died in 88 in a Camaro accident.
Mm.
And supposedly that Camaro haunts Clinton Road.
She died in the Camaro? Or
I believe so. Probably died in the Camaro. I got to check with some of my friends in the fire department back in 88 and see if they actually can verify that there was a Camaro fatality.
Wow.
But, yeah, the Camaro was the recent one I heard about. But the black truck, that also... Oh, man, someone's phone. The black truck, that gets linked...
That was your goose.
Yeah, right? The black truck also gets linked into the old story of the Jackson Whites. And that one, there is so much conflicting information on where it started from and what it really is and where they are. And that if you could do a Google Earth of that Clinton Road area, and you will not see houses. You will not see settlements. So,
no, and it's creepy when you drive it in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
It is creepy.
Before it was McAdam. It was really, really rural, and that's when all the stories really came out.
Yeah.
You really cannot drive fast on that road.
Not at all.
And there's nothing around.
No.
There's nothing. There's a whole section of it where there's no houses, and it's pitch black. It's just creepy.
Oh, okay, but see, now that's the challenge to anybody listening out there. Because, I've been on the road, and I think you could do 75, 80 on it if you're really good. But only if you're good.
It.
So if you really don't want to do it, then...
We've taken cars out of the trees that were doing 75 and 80. They weren't doing it good at all. Yeah.
Take out of trees, like,
Be out there, a couple miles away. Sitting in your car
airborne.
with the bears coming at you. Which brings me to another cool
bear.
Thing. Yeah, not bear. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Before I was around, back from 72 to 76.
When were you born, Mark?
77.
Oh, God.
Holy moly.
Just a kid.
Holy
hey, I'm old, too.
77.
So, before I was around.
Have you had sex?
Four times.
Four kids. Way to go.
Four kids.
Good answer. Your wife is listening, isn't she?
God, I hope so. So, before I was around, before I moved to West Milford, there was this cool thing over there from 72 to 76 called Jungle Habitat. Any guys remember that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I do remember that.
It was one of those, let's go take the kids in the car and they can pet the lion through the window.
That didn't close down in 76.
Yeah, that's when they kind of, that's right at the very end.
Isn't
apparently,
that when people started finding animals in the yard?
I remember
that,
though.
I was nine at that age.
You were nine. So,
were
just a fall.
It closed down because, people were feeding their kids to the bears, but... All the locals, there's always stories about locals, all these weird noises and weird animals. Well, you live in the woods. There's weird animals everywhere. But the thing with Clinton Road is they link a lot of the weird animal sightings to the story of Jungle Habitat closing.
Yeah.
Now, Jungle Habitat, the owners...
There's a lot of controversy around that.
Yes, but they had the documentation. All their animals were sold off
four
corners of the state. It's everywhere. What the locals say is, they just opened the cages and said,
I heard
see
that
you
too.
Later.
Yep.
So you have all these weird free-range Afghani peacocks running around over there. And
Baboons.
Yeah. So that's what the
cryptids.
Cryptids, exactly. These weird animals crossbreeding and making weirder animals.
Mm-hmm.
And
making
and
big, kinda, big foots.
Yeah, making bigger big foots. But that's... That's the link back to the weird animals they see up there in Clinton Road. Everyone says, it's from Jungle Habitat, Jungle Habitat. Well, it's a lot of big woods up there. It could be anything floating around.
Well, I think a lot of the areas around here, that's why I think Charlie's right, where it doesn't matter what road you go on, there's got to be some. Because Blair Road right over here has right that, right?
Yep. Yep.
Right?
Absolutely.
And, absolutely. And it's like right next to us.
Yep.
But Canisteer Road has the cemetery on it, but there are a lot of strange happenings on that road.
Canisteer Road is a strange road just
in general.
When you go up there and you're going down Canisteer Road, sometimes you don't know what's around the next corner.
Yep.
So, people sit there and they talk about their areas and what's going on. Well, we had those women that were here from where? Up in New York. In Walden.
Yes.
And they were talking about their house being, well, forget their house. How about just the general area?
That general area.
Just the land. Right, Ron. The land. The history that's on the land up there.
Oh,
You say, oh, well, me too, and Wantage.
Yeah, Wantage has got folklore of that. Yeah. There's certain areas around here that are known for, just like Stokes is known for Bigfoot.
Right.
Yeah.
Canisteer is known for ghosts and UFOs. Right. Wantage is known for a lot of hauntings more in the negative.
Yeah.
The dark, energies.
Yep.
So, there's certain areas that are known for certain, I have to say Sussex County has to be one of the strongest areas of hauntings. Because no matter what town we've gone to or area we've gone to, there's been some odd, strange things.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just me thinking this way, but I have been known to partake, whether it's wine or scotch or beer. I like
partake.
I like to have a drink every so often.
Just to dabble.
But up here in Sussex County,
just a sip.
It seems like AA does very well. Okay. And that's most churches have a meeting sometime during the weekend. Good for them because at least people that are going there are trying to take care of themselves. But in this area. I think I grew up in Bergen County. You grew up where in Essex? Where?
No,
Patterson. What you were in Passaic County and you were in
Sussex
County. The idea here is when I was in Bergen County, I heard about this being haunted, that being haunted, and it was a rarity. Up here, man, there is so much related to the soil, to the buildings, to the people, to just different things, and you sit there and you say, is it because of the people that are there? Is it because of the
land?
History?
It's definitely the land because I moved from Butler when I was 8.
Oh, well, and so I moved. Didn't grow up here. You weren't Butler.
Well, only till I was 8.
Butler's a real hotbed.
Butler and Bloomingdale area, that's where I was up till I was 8. And then we moved up here when I was 8, and from 8 years old up, I've been here. And the difference the difference in just the stories you hear. And like I said, I was little hearing Bigfoot, UFO, and all the weird kind of thing, and ghosts. Like I said, there are lots of things you heard, and you did. It was all like things that kids heard as they were growing up and stuff like that. And then when they did the big thing is, even though it wasn't our area, what town was Camp Friday the 13th movie? Because I know
Lake.
It was Camp Nova Bosco or something, but it was Camp Crystal Lake.
No, it wasn't far from here.
Yeah.
The original it was
Nova Bosco or something is what the camp was, but they used it for the Friday the 13th
Bosco?
Movie. Yes, that's it.
That's the Boy Scout camp.
Don't do that!
It was there.
That's where it was filmed, and after it was filmed, that's all we heard.
No.
Growing up was that there was bad stuff that happened. Yeah, absolutely.
What was filmed there?
Friday the 13th.
I didn't
and
know
people
that.
And people would go there.
You see the things we're learning
that.
Tonight?
Yeah.
You see the things we're learning tonight?
And people went there after that to go check it out, and it was
I didn't know that.
The original one was filmed there.
But what town is that, actually?
I don't know. I know the camp, though. I know, kids that had gone there.
Yeah, and that's what they used for it.
Junior high and high school.
And there are people who said if you watch it now, they can tell it's that.
There it is, yeah.
Yeah, wow. But that was a legend, that after they did the filming there, that there was all this stuff in that area, and then people would try to go there, and, of course, the cops would be there taking them out.
Well, like Camp Sussex.
Yes.
Camp Sussex says...
I'm not going to say that may have investigated that.
Okay. there were some people that say some stuff happened there. And,
absolutely.
And some stuff didn't happen there.
Do talk.
But
that's what the show's about.
Yeah.
And that was... Camp Sussex was going strong when I was in high school.
Exactly. And it was a great place. And then all of a sudden, some bad stuff started happening, and now it's like you've seen it where it looks like now. The town is trying to buy it to actually just keep it as a park area or whatever, and I think if they did it, it would be great. But, you know, to think about the history of the place, man, that's scary. Like when we went to Letchworth, remember that? Man,
it's all of those things, though. You hear so many, you know, so many stories.
You got some good stuff there. Right? Yeah. Weren't we in the basement that time?
The elevator shaft. The guy was yelling.
Was it your son?
Yeah, he got
what is this place? And the guy goes, lavatory.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Nobody said
we
a word.
We did get some
lavatory.
Phenomenal.
Holy crap.
Who knew lavatory back then?
Yeah, right? Unbelievable. Yep. And you got the guy talking about the elevator shaft.
Yep.
Oh, man. We're talking scary stuff. The hair on my arm just talking about this stuff, you know?
And most, if you notice, most of the, like, the legends or things you hear is, like, more related to hauntings or ghost things. Because, like, even Ringwood Manor is like that. And we've actually gone there to do some investigating. But that one, there's supposed to be a lot of activity there because it's from the Revolutionary War and stuff.
But
you know
what? All of the top-notch people that do their ghost investigations say that you get the best response, whether it's an EVP or you're getting your videos or whatever you're getting, you know, your K2 meters, you get the best response when everybody's naked.
Maybe.
What do you think, Mark?
You're going to
miss the next one, so sorry about that.
Mark's actually being very clean tonight.
I am.
I don't know what's going on. I can't even lure you into this, Mark. Come on.
You know, I was working on all my notes and everything.
But it was your kid's birthday. Now that's past.
So
now,
exactly.
Mark gets a big gold star.
Yeah, you got a big brown star.
Boy, yeah, well, we're not looking back there, okay?
There it goes.
If anybody out there listening has any weird happenings around where they live, definitely give us a call. Because we're also equipped.
I don't know.
Paranormal investigators.
We got so much to talk about, but it's okay. We're trying.
All right. Well, let's get back on the topic
of investigate.
Oh, okay.
Let's sneak back on this whole local unexplained mystery. Local things. All right. So, Ron, you grew up in Patterson.
Right.
And now you are in?
I live right now in Hamburg.
So there you go. Anything floating around by you?
Not really in Hamburg, but Patterson, I grew up in a haunted house.
There you go.
And what happened was, I'll tell you a real quick story. There used to be a guy that used to pile beer cans in his window.
Mm-hmm.
He used to knock them down with his cane. And he died, and all of a sudden, you actually hear the cans crashing down through the windows and stuff late at night when I used to live there. But other than seeing him or anything, I never seen him, but we always heard him up in the attic.
That's cool.
So
Very cool.
It was a pretty cool house.
How old the guy are we talking?
Oh, that's going back in the 60s.
But how old was he?
He must have been in his 80s.
Yeah, really? Probably.
He liked his beer, huh?
Loved it.
What do you like?
Budweiser? No, that was back with the Colt.
You like Colt 45?
Malt liquor.
No kidding.
My God, they still have that, though.
Wow.
The black like that, you know.
Yeah.
Or poor kids like my son.
Well, I used to buy that when I was in college, you know, because it was cheap down in North Carolina. But then again, I drank red, white, and blue beer, which was like $2.35 a case.
Red Stripe. No, yay, beer.
That's important.
White Rock or something like that.
So it's Rolling Rock.
Rolling Rock.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right, so I hope all these people are going to pay us royalties for talking about it on the air now.
There are so many good beers out there, but you know, there's only a couple of good ones. And I'm not going to go.
Cha-ching. Yeah, all right, here we go.
I am the most interesting man in the world. No, it's crazy. What do we have right here in Hamburg? Don't we have something right here that's haunted?
Yeah, with the storeroom. But don't look at me. I'm all the way from the next county over, you know?
Oh, yeah, but this
too.
Area with the quarries and,
you have to remember,
there's a lot of stuff stirred up, and the iron and things like that, especially by the Mineral Museum.
Absolutely.
And things like that.
Any kind of water or limestone.
Oh, yeah.
Warthogs coming out of there and everything. I mean, we had one that used to work here was a warthog.
Yeah.
She worked over there at this. Okay, I'll shut up. I'll shut up right now.
Here we go.
Anyway, yeah, too much wine. What can I tell you?
This is why we don't get the national syndication.
Where's that corkscrew?
Give Charlie some water.
That's it.
I'm just saying, you know, when you bring something bad in, the bad spirits are here. That's all there is to it. But anyway, now we're okay.
So, we're not fun and lively.
Yeah, we're having fun. Anyway.
Did anybody hear about the one in the Pine Barrens?
No, what's that?
There's supposed to be a little boy in the Pine Barrens or a boy in the Pine Barrens that was chasing after a ball and he got hit by a car. So they say, like, if there's supposed to be an area there that if you honk three times, he's supposed to appear.
Come on.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to talk about the Jersey Devil. Yeah.
No, but that one. That's supposed to be, that is legend, though. That's been
that
out
is.
For
legend
a while.
Or real? They have pictures.
Okay,
pictures
there are people who feel it's real, but the folklore has gone back to like way in the 1800s.
Yeah, well, yeah, it goes back.
Yeah, so with someone eating Jebediah's chickens. There has to be something to it because there's too many people through hundreds of years that have seen something like that, and it probably is like a cryptid, like a cross between a certain thing. I mean, even though the legend is that, you know, it was somebody's, you know, disfigured kid or whatever.
Yeah,
but
don't you think sometimes, you know, the legend gets a little, you know, exaggerated and then it gets passed on and then all of a sudden somebody else, and then by the time you end up, you know,
but when you're
out
in the
like
90s and
like
the 2000s and people,
you know?
like are saying there's this weird looking thing that I saw and I can't explain it. So they're not really making up a story about it, but they're just saying it looks weird. Because some people think it's like that a crane or something, you know, and like, they're not really
moves
around
too fast
here.
For a crane, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well,
it sort of like jumps and...
I've heard of the ones of the bird down there.
Yeah, like, so like the massive... No, that's what it's supposed to be. It's like a thing that flies, but it's supposed to have, like, all these weird, you know, features on it and, like, be part of one animal and part of another. So they say it was, like, originally it was supposed to be a mutant, you know, person
child.
Or a child,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then other people made it into, I think it was a couple of animals that kind of, you know, interbred and, So it's interesting, but, like, I'm telling you that anytime anybody I know passes the Pine Barrens, they will not go in. And the funniest thing is they always go right to Deliverance. Like, they can't go past it fast enough. They can't go. It's funny we're talking about legends, but it's weird how things like that stick with you. Like, they still talk about that stuff.
I mean,
let's
Barrens
see.
Big. Yeah. It really is. I mean, that's another dumping ground.
And
yet, talking about mafia.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. It's Sopranos. But the word Barrens, I'm like, I don't want to go in there. What if I don't have cell service?
It's
dark and twisty, lots of trees, no plumbing.
Lots of Bigfoot are supposed to be in there.
Bad cell phone service.
Yep.
But, well, aren't you talking like, you know, down in Louisiana Bayou, too? I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the fact that, you know, people are afraid of the unknown. And when they get down there and you got somebody talking the Bayou language,
we mock and fear what we don't understand.
What? And I'm not mocking. It's just you sit there and it's a whole different language.
Exactly.
And you sit there and say, well, I don't know about the Jersey Barrens. Okay, my brother-in-law used to live down there and he spoke fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, you sit there and you say, is it really something you should be afraid of?
Yeah.
I'm not really, you know, I don't know if I'd be afraid to go through the Barrens. I mean, it's just, you know.
I don't know.
Well,
I'm from
it's got a lot of poisonous animals. It
yeah.
Snakes.
Does
it? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, they got a lot of bad stuff in there. I mean, animal-wise, but
Jersey Devil.
There's people that are afraid to come up here and sit on the top of a mountain because they think they're going to be sucked up into a UFO. So, you know, I think it depends on where you're from.
Well,
if you're from down
in
South Jersey, maybe you're afraid of up here.
Tell you what, 5 a.m. when I'm taking out the garbage, when I get the flashlight looking for a bear hat all the time because they blend in nicely when it's dark. And when all you see are the eyes.
I know. I had three shred my cans last night. Shred them.
Hey, now.
And drag
them
half
the show.
That could be good.
Yeah.
But
at least it wasn't Bigfoot.
I just saw something on the internet about two jet fighters following a flying saucer. Did you see that? And it looked really good, but I'm sitting there going, come on.
Why was it a hoax?
The one
I don't know. I think it has to be.
I didn't see that, but that
should have made the news.
That reminds me of the Wanakee Reservoir story. back in 60, I want to say 66, was it?
Yeah, we're talking
around
about
40,
50 years ago.
Now. I used to rent the house right on that. I mean, right where it happened.
And you saw it?
No, no, I wasn't even. I wasn't
he
even.
He wasn't even born yet.
Yeah, I was in a flash.
That was about 11 years before his conception.
But that's one of these great local stories.
He wasn't even a thought.
I wasn't even a bottle of wine yet. The grapes are still growing. But what's cool about that is it's local to here, and it was a huge mass sighting. I mean,
who took a picture though?
Yeah, we got. I got pictures.
You got real pictures.
There
are pictures
of that one.
If you're
yeah.
listening, look onto the show, and the pictures are actually on the slideshow.
No.
Yes, there's wow. one of them of the beam coming right down off the craft, right into the lake.
The
no, that's the picture. That is the actual. And there's.
Our website, our thing,
right in the blog talk.
It's on our Among
right
the Realms.
Right in our blog talk. So when you're watching this show, you're going to see.
Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk, yeah, Blog Talk Radio Studio, blah, blah, blah.
BlogTalkRadio.com/Among the Realms.
Hold on, let me pull it up right there.
I didn't
yeah.
see that.
When you click
just
up for our show, there's a whole bunch of stuff.
Know.
So you'll see pictures of Clinton Road, you see pictures of Annie's Road. I couldn't get a picture to Midgetville for you, so we just have to make the trip down myself.
No
midgets left. But they all got jobs.
Yeah, they got jobs.
Yeah, this is the one where they had the mass
they
sightings.
They weren't in the
Among the Realms video.
Wizard of Oz, they weren't in anything. You know, they didn't have a reason to live. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I'm just going to bang my head in the microphone.
Yeah, there
you
go. Key word there is bang.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No.
Squeak, squeak, squeak.
And the lawsuits are coming. That's it. We're changing the rating of this show to nuts.
You are incorporated, aren't you?
Yeah.
The corporation gets in trouble.
What's the address they can sue?
Yeah. I think it's 1432 Maple Lane.
Mockingbird Lane.
Yeah, Mockingbird Lane. There you go.
But the Wanneke thing was cool. You had, mayors, councilmen, clergymen, police officers, everyone.
Sounds like the dome.
For two hours. Yeah, pretty much. God. For 2 hours, we'll watch this thing going on. And that's when, after they left, you had the high-end fighters come flying in with the helicopters, and they were chasing something real fierce.
Okay, but helicopters aren't going to be able to chase anything.
No, they're not chasing. They're dropping off the Men in Black.
Yeah, yeah.
Mitch is one of the first occurrences of you actually hear them talking about the Men in Black. Not Will Smith in the movie, but they actually had the government officials, and they were quoted saying, you know, these guys, and then the black suits coming down with these very weird credentials telling them, you didn't see anything. You didn't hear anything. You're not going to say anything.
Right. And they said, look at this.
Yeah, and they said, look at this. But one of them was quoted as saying, you know, it was Jupiter and Venus coming into alignment. The other one saying, oh, it's the weather balloon. And it was all the hokey usual. It was a weather balloon. It was Jupiter, Venus. It was swamp gas. It was light refracting off Uranus. I mean, it was everything.
Yeah, well, you got your pants down. Let me tell you something about Men in Black. And this has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. But if anybody's listening out there, I used to do a lot of traveling.
Anybody's left.
And if anybody's listening and they're part of this, I'm really not saying it. It's just coming across the waves. But I used to do a lot of traveling. And one day I had to fly up to Toronto. And I was in Newark Airport. It was about 2:30 in the afternoon. Had to take a flight up there. There was a small prop plane going into Toronto Island Airport. At that time, they still took international flights. And there's about maybe 10 people waiting to get on the plane, and there's maybe 18 seats on the entire plane. So I'm sitting there, and I'm at the back of the line, and I got my suitcase in my hand, and six or seven people surround me, and they're all dressed in black, no identifying badges, no nothing. Big guys, one woman, five or six big guys, and one woman, all dressed in black, and they say to me, you're going to Toronto. I said, yes, I am. They said, do you have more than $10,000 in your possession right now, taking it out of the country? And I went, no, I don't. I pulled out my pocket. I had like $110 on me. They said, can we check your bag? And I went, wait a minute. Who are you guys? I said, show me some ID. And they said, well, if you don't want to show us your bag here, you'll have to come with us. And these two guys put their arms underneath my arms. And all of a sudden, everybody that's in line is looking at me like I'm a criminal already, right? So I sat there and said, whoa, wait. I said, what's going on here? And they sat there and said, you're coming with us. And the woman who's checking people in to get on the plane looks at me like, oh, you must have done something really bad. And I went, wait. I said, what do you need to see? They said, well, we want to open up your bags. So I said, go ahead.
But don't they have to have a reason or no?
You would think, but when there's five or six huge guys and a woman and they've got no identifying badges, no nothing.
They would have to tell you what they're suspicious of.
Well,
I mean, they have to get a search warrant for your house.
Listen to this. They open my bag and they start taking straight long pins and sticking it in the lining of my suitcase like they're looking for drugs or something. They pull all of my clothes out. They spread it out all over the floor, and they don't find anything. And they go, okay, thank you. And they leave. They just get up and leave. No ID, no nothing. They just leave. I sat there, and the woman that's checking people in for the plane, she goes, sir, you're going to have to hurry. We're closing the door. I said, you're not going anywhere. I said, you just saw what happened. Give me 2 minutes to put everything back in my bag. So I did. Got it on the plane. I got on the plane. Now I get on the plane and everybody's looking at me like I got three heads. I go up to Toronto. I take care of my business. I come home. I got a friend of mine that's a mechanic for United Airlines. And I call him up and I go, John, I said, what the hell happened to me? I was flying, you know, this Toronto Island Express, whatever it was. I said, and these seven people came over, dressed in black, totally unidentifiable, and went through my stuff. He goes, oh, they came to you? I went, excuse me? He goes, yeah, we can't talk about that. I said, what do you mean you can't talk about that? I said, these people didn't give me any information at all. They didn't tell me who they were. They just basically were going to take me in the back somewhere. I thought my life was in danger. Yeah, and that's not going to happen. I'll give them anything they want. They ain't checking that.
They're going to find teeth.
So I sat there and I said, what the hell happened? He goes, yeah. He says, no, I can't talk about it. I said, that's happened before? He goes, I don't know.
I was sworn to secrecy.
He says, all I know is that, you know, they talked to you about your baggage and stuff. I said, yeah. He goes, yeah, don't worry about it. And I was like,
don't worry about it. Like you're violated.
Violated.
And then just because. You don't get any...
There could be a reason.
Nothing. These people could have been... They could have been terrorists. And I'm sitting there going, and the woman at the gate is looking at me like, holy crap, who are you? What did you do?
Well, especially when they're like that.
And they singled me out. And I had, like I said, I had like $110 on me. I was traveling to Toronto. That was it. I was going up there for business. Right. Then I got to, when I got to Toronto, I've been up to Toronto so many times, the guy in customs knows me. He goes, yeah, I know. Go ahead, go. So, I mean, there was no problem there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was sitting there, and you talk about Men in Black?
That's crazy.
They didn't identify themselves, no cards, no nothing.
And you never found out what it was?
Never found out. And that was 1991, 1992.
Maybe thought you were an alien, like an alien, like on Men in Black.
I don't know. But it would be
in the post office guy, like
whoa. Yeah, right. Yeah, yes. That's the one I was thinking of. I'm just wondering if there's anybody out there that had ever been in contact with an alien of any type, whether they think they were abducted or if they were
interesting.
Because
they come out with a lot of that too now.
People
do get abducted and they come back as you know different. They can tell you what
they're different. Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Mark.
Yeah.
They're just checking our intelligence.
What about you? I mean, just looking at you, I would think you were, you know.
Well,
you've never come across anything like odd or any type of like folklore, like when you traveled,
yeah,
like any things where you were told like don't go near this road or don't go near this, you know, like legends and stuff.
Sea monsters or something.
How about the Bermuda Triangle? How about
that's supposed to be a big portal, and I wanted to do a show actually on famous portals.
Yeah.
Which if we do our next show, I think that's what we should do.
That would be good.
That is supposed to be one of the biggest ones, so we'll save that for. But it's definitely an unexplained mystery.
Most of the weird stuff I've encountered, I've been able to figure out what it was. Like I told you the story about the Straits of Hormuz with the crazy lights coming off the ship, and we figured out it was either an American or it was an Iranian sub playing havoc with us. I mean, you see weird animals out there, but in the middle of the ocean, it's, you know, whales look kind of interesting. You see the long needlefish, the long, long nose, they're kind of cool.
You haven't seen anyone like the Loch Ness Monster?
No. I probably run over him a couple times.
And there's a lot of sea monster ones, because that's exactly what the Hakon one is. It's supposed to be a sea monster. That's the one I was talking about.
Hakon?
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about, where there's supposed to be like some kind of sea monster in the water that they talk about.
Like Nessie?
Yeah, but it's supposed to be like a friendly one, but the swimmers and things like that say they named it Hoppy or something. And it's supposed to be like a sea monster that has like the head of a dog and the body of a snake.
Wow. And people have seen this.
Apparently. Yeah, you should look it up. Look it up.
And Lake Hopatcong.
I've seen it all the time.
Yeah, it's called the Sussex Sea Monster or something.
Wow.
I think.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Sussex Sea Serpent, it's called.
Wow.
See, the thing with those creatures, you have to wonder, you know, if it's a lake, for something to get that big, it's got to eat a lot.
It's got a lot of food source.
Right. Mm-hmm. All that algae, just chomping.
I wish. Eat the lily pads people. By us. Or come to my lake and start eating the seaweeds in the
animals
bottom. You know?
On land.
Yeah, or people's dogs and cats.
Exactly.
All the missing stuff. But you know, that was a big thing with the Loch Ness Monster, because they were first talking about, you know, the length and size of this thing, and they said, well, something this big would have to eat this much.
And they insist that's absolutely true, because there are so many reports of that one.
Yeah. Loch Ness is deep.
So many reports, yeah. And it's the way, what they say is, the sea monster term is, most of them are in areas where it's dark and murky and mucky, and they feel like that's like a breeding ground for it. So, you know, when you think about it, like where you hear of those creepy things, or even our creepy stories, they're always in areas where they're more, you know, it's obviously not a bright, sunny, grassy area that you usually see it.
Some of those monsters, too, they turn from flesh-eating to vegetation, mm-hmm. too. If they have nothing to eat, they're going to eat the vegetation. So maybe they turn to, you know, just like, you know, seaweed or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, but don't you think it would be in more of a remote place? I mean, I got friends of mine that live up in Newcomb, New York, and up on Racket Lake, up by Long Lake, those areas. And, I mean, you know, when you start getting up into the Adirondacks, you got areas where people just haven't been there in forever. There's probably acreage, tons of acreage, that people just haven't trekked in, you know, hundreds of years. And you sit there and you say, if you were either going to be, you know, something like a Nessie or a UFO or whatever, I would look for those areas, you know? Just like you talk about up in New York State, if you go over there towards Candlewood Lake and up that area, the reservoirs and stuff, people say they used to see them up there all the time.
A lot of sightings.
And I sit there and say, well, come on.
Don't you think it's funny, all these things, though, that people see, all these unexplainable things, and yet they still don't believe?
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe that people don't believe. I mean, I believe, and I haven't seen it. You know, I've seen satellites. I've seen that stuff. I've seen shooting stars. I haven't seen a UFO. And you know what? You see things on the internet all the time.
I just can't believe that we're the only intelligent life force out here. I just can't believe
no.
it.
No.
Yeah.
Well,
we might
we
not even be considered intelligent.
Yeah,
compared
I don't
to
think
others.
We are.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. We could be right on the level of blue-green algae compared to some others,
so big,
you know?
It's big out there. I mean, there's got to be other life.
Yeah.
There has to be.
No, you're right. It's just that I'm sitting there saying to myself, there's got to be. I mean, I sit on my deck. I sit on my deck all the time. And I've got a great view of the entire valley, looking over to Vernon Valley and the whole area and the Mountain Creek and all of that. I've got a huge view. I can see planes going in and out of the Sussex Airport. And one of our groups sits there and he says, oh, you see lights all the time then going all over the airport. Mm-hmm. I'm going, yeah, there's planes coming in and going out. There's a helicopter guy's got. He goes up and down. But there's not a whole lot going on. So, you know, you just got to be careful. But what you say, you're going to actually take a call.
Speaking of going on, we got Tara from West Milford, New Jersey. She's got some interesting hiking stories, which involves some little satanic writing
on
some buildings.
From Tara. Come on, bring her on.
All right. Let's hit the old button. And the magic of modern science and technology, we have Tara on the line. Tara, how are you doing?
Good.
Good. Sweet. All right. So fill me in on this little story of hiking.
My friend and I, we were about 13 years old, and we went for a hike to Surprise Lake in West Milford, New Jersey, and it's like a two-hour hike from where we left from. And when we got to the lake, we found like a stack of rocks and like this wooden cross in it. And then when we walked a little further, there was like a patch of dry grass, and someone had ripped out the dry grass in like a perfect circle and outlined it with, like, made a pentagram out of pebbles. And then like tied all these bundles of grass together around it, and then there was like another cross somewhere, and then at two points of the star, like, you know, the star in the pentagram, at the point were these little crosses made out of sticks, and there was two of them. And so we were like, well, that's pretty weird, you know, and this is before we had, like, cell phones or camera phones or anything, so we don't even have any pictures, but we were hanging out by the lake, and then we went over to this another part of the lake, and we came back, and I said to my friend, I said, do you remember how many crosses were on this pentagram? And she said, two. Why? And I said, there's two more. And the entire time we hadn't seen anyone or heard anything or anyone, and we were just totally freaked out by that, and we, like, felt like someone was watching us, and we just, like, booked it out of there.
So, Tara, you said it took you 2 hours to hike there. Would it take you about 15 minutes to get back?
Yeah, pretty much. I think we might have taken a shorter way back and had her mom come and pick us up.
Good old mom, huh?
That's it.
Yeah, it was pretty creepy.
Yeah, that was creepy.
That's pretty scary.
That's like a Blair Witch thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, someone's going to, like, what if the two crosses, like, symbolize us and we're going to be, like, sacrificed or something?
Oh, man.
I'm like, oh, my gosh. We're going to die. Get up here.
Now, I got a question for you. So you've been in town a lot longer than I have. Over White Road and Warwick Turnpike, where that fork is.
I know what you're talking about, the metal tree thing, the sculpture in the woods.
Yes, I've never made it in there, but what is the deal?
There's a few different stories, I guess, but I think the most common is that it was built by the KKK and I don't know, they used to trap people inside of it or something. I don't know. It is a pretty creepy metal, like old rusty metal sculpture. It kind of curves up, like almost like a body, but like curving with like a point on top. And then there's like eight hands coming out of it. And like the fingers, like kind of, you know, like claw, like, you know, kind of reaching out. Like, it's pretty creepy.
Sweet. Now, another one, because I know you're a hiker extraordinaire. My fat butt's never made the climb up to this, but have you ever done the Rock Living Room?
Yes.
Oh, how is it up there?
It's really cool. I have some awesome, like, pictures from that and everything, and it's a really cool area. I know it's been, like, destroyed over the years, and then people come and rebuild it and stuff, but, like, you know, it's just this, like, stone circle, like, there's all these stone rocks in a circle around this, like, campfire pit, and I know a lot of kids like to go and party up there.
Yeah.
But but it is pretty interesting how it was put together, because it's, they're pretty big rocks, some of them, and, like, they really did a good job, whoever originally made them.
Tell me about it. Now, did you sign the book when you went up there? Or was the book gone?
Maybe. I don't remember.
It's been a good time then.
Probably. Well, I went there recently and there was no book. I went there maybe a few months ago. I didn't see it, but I think I do recall there being some kind of book up there. But again, a lot of kids like to come and destroy things.
Damn kids. And we're getting old saying that. All right, I got another one for you I want to ask you about. Have you ever done the off of Macapin, the crash jet?
No. I never figured out where exactly to get to that. But I have heard a lot about that.
That was cool. Yeah, I've been trying to look into that because it's supposed to be a close one. It's supposed to be a couple hundred yards off the main road. There is a crashed jet from the 60s. It was a trainer jet. And the two guys, you know, two pilots walked out of it. And the Navy came, took out all the essential parts, but left the whole fuselage there.
Oh, wow.
So there is a crashed fighter jet a couple hundred yards off of Mackinac Road. You can find it on YouTube. But it's very hard finding the actual location of it. You hear, you know, it's just off this cul-de-sac. So here I am on Google Earth looking at every single cul-de-sac off of Mackinac, trying to see where this jet, fighter jet would be. But, yeah, that's something I always wanted to make.
I would like to find that.
That would be sweet. You got to drag Joe out in that one. All right, so what else do you have local? I mean, like I said, you've been in town a lot longer than I. Ever have any Clinton Road tomfoolery?
My friend and I actually did a report, the same friend that I had the Surprise Lake experience with. Mm-hmm. We did a little report on Clinton Road, and I wasn't with her at the time, but she did say that she went to go find Cross Castle, and you can still go back there, and they had the foundation is there and everything, and, you know, there's just, like, the foundation and some stairs, and there's some other cool things back there, like a big water tower or something, all made out of stone. And
the smelting tower right by the falls, right?
Yeah, but, yeah, so she says she, or no, not that, this is a different one, it's, like, further in the woods. I think you're talking about the furnace that's next to the waterfall.
Okay, yeah, that one.
We were hiking on this trail, and all of a sudden there's this big stone, like, cylinder that's just hanging out with trees growing out of the, like, middle of it and stuff, and, like, no way in, like, it's just all enclosed. So I'm not exactly sure what it used to be, but I don't know, it was pretty interesting. And my friend said that she was back there checking out Cross Castle, and her little brother, like, she was with her family, and her little brother said that he saw something white, like, running through the woods. And, like, and it was just, like, gone.
That's interesting.
And, I don't know, and my friend and I have been hiking throughout Clinton Road, and one time she thought she saw a bear, but it was, like, skinny, and, like, it looked, I don't know, she said it looked almost, I don't know, have you ever heard of the Clinton Road wolf or whatever it is, the dog that they think is, like, a crossbreed from some animals at Jungle Habitat?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, so
a lot of the animals they point to Jungle Habitat say it's them.
Yeah. So
I've never seen that. I've seen a lot of deer. I've seen a lot of bear in Clinton Road at night. Seen a couple
this
of
is,
big turkey vultures. Those things scare me with the eye. Ooh. Oh, yeah. They the wings come out.
My friend has driven down Clinton Road after 2 o'clock, and she says she sees all kinds of animals come out, like porcupines. She saw a hawk swoop down in the middle of her car and pick up this mouse that was like in the middle of the road and fly away.
I like that. I remember a video on that was America's Funniest Home Videos. This little kid was playing with his pet mouse, brings it out on the table, like, oh mom, look at that! Here comes off, whoom, God, that was awesome. All right, so what else you got? What else you got going? Anything else? Anything
Jungle
from
Habitat,
the?
Go ahead.
Oh no, you got anything from Jungle Habitat?
Well, I mean, it's definitely a cool place to explore, you know, I'm not exactly sure like what went on there, but there's like broken cages and stuff like that were just left in the middle of the woods that you could still find to this day. I found it once; it's hard to find. But there's a lot of cool stuff left over at Jungle Habitat. You know, the tunnels and stuff, those are kind of creepy.
Can we go in those?
And, yeah, there's, like, these tunnels that you walk through, and then there's, like, an old ticket booth. There's foundations and collapsed buildings everywhere. There's an old, like, one of those kiddie train ride. There's a track from that. And there's a pool somewhere that had some kind of maybe an otter or something in it. And I don't have any particularly weird stories about jungle habitat, but there are a lot of really cool and, like, weird things to explore there.
Nice. Well, we should get down there, the little jungle habitat, checking out. That'd be that'd be a little interesting little show. Oh, do a little live show from Jungle Habitat.
Yeah.
That's what's left of it. All right, girl.
Well, yeah.
Thank you for calling in. You rock, by the way.
No problem. I've definitely tried. I loved Weird NJ as a kid, and I've tried to get every place on the list in West Milford anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some cool places to explore, some weird, creepy, cool places.
Some weird, creepy people in West Milford, too, but, you know.
That's for sure, too. My friend found this guy in a trench coat in the middle of the woods, and he was banging a stick on a tree. And, they went... But when they went towards where he was, he wrote in the dirt, "No kids allowed." And, again, this is when we were, 13 years old.
How big was that stick?
Yeah.
No cell phone, alone in the middle of the woods. No big deal.
Oh, man. All righty. Well, I think that is the last of our list of callers. Everyone else I just told to go to bed because Jackie's a little tired.
They weren't as interesting as me.
Yeah, so. We're all seeing double out here anyway. So, Tara, thank you very much for calling in. I'll see you when I get back home. I haven't got to see you this whole trip. I'm kind of bummed about that.
Yeah.
I saw all the pictures, but listen, we're going to get going. Thank you so much for calling in and adding to the fun. You rock, like Pop Rocks.
No problem. I encourage you to explore the weird stuff in West Milford.
Yeah. We do all the time. I bring my kids along. All good. All right, so from... Thank you very much. So on behalf of Tara and
Ron
and
Charlie
and
Jackie
and Mark, we'd like to say thank you very much for listening to our wonderfully fun show. Thank you for keeping with us through all the many different topics. And we will see you next week. Do we have a topic for a show next week?
Yes. I don't know. We might do. Do you want to do the portals?
Yeah.
I think famous portals.
Portals.
I don't think anybody's done that.
All right. So there's a Tara free field to call in for our portal show.
Doorways to inside.
Yeah, doorways to the unknown.
Yes, you will not be sleeping after that. So thank you very much for everybody listening. We'll see you next week with some...
There's one in West Milford.
There's many. There's a couple in my house. But
that's how you got here.
That's how I got there, right? Just kind of stepped through and here I am. Think of that. Save all that in gas money.
Be careful when you go back in tonight.
Yeah, right? I'm going to fall through a couple portals. All right, so thank you very much for everybody for listening. Thank you, Tara, for calling in. And we will see you next week around the same time, hopefully, for a great show on portals. Take care.